Welcome to Healthcare Rounds, the podcast serving you the ins and outs of health policy and business topics, as well as our take on the rapidly evolving healthcare delivery ecosystem. I'm John Marchica, founder and CEO of Darwin Research Group and host of this podcast. To learn more about us, go to darwinresearch.com. We're trying something different this week, as we're continuing to test the boundaries of what works, and I suppose what doesn't work, in a podcast. Today we have a short primer on home healthcare. We thought we would do this in advance of our next interview with Bob Roth, who's a managing partner for Cypress Home Care Solutions. Bob runs one of the best home-based personal care services in the region, and he often works with home healthcare providers and health systems. Now, we don't really know the composition of our podcast listeners, but if you looked at the readership distribution of Our Take, you'd find that most are health system executives, pharma and medical device execs, and physician leaders. Based on my experience over the years, there's a lack of understanding among many providers of just exactly what home healthcare is and why companies like Bob's are different. So in advance of my interview with Bob, I thought a brief educational piece would be valuable for our audience. Now, there's a special place in my heart for home health. It was the first industry segment that we cut our teeth on years ago, and we continue to update our Home Health Syndicated Research Report each year. And here's the plug. We have a new edition coming out in July. But that personal connection to home health isn't just for commercial reasons. I've witnessed the caring help of a home health nurse for my dad in the last days of his life. After one of his operations, he was sent to a rehab facility where the care wasn't so great, and he couldn't wait to get home and be in the comfort of his own bed. The fact is, home health care makes sense in so many cases. It's a third the cost of a nursing home stay and about a fifth the cost of a hospital stay without sacrificing quality. And patients are just happier in the home. But as we've tracked this industry, it just seems like they can't get a break. With every MedPAC advisory committee meeting that recommends how much they'll get paid, it just seems like the board just wants to stick it to home health every time. It seems to me that if you can provide the same level of care at a lower cost, in a way that makes patients happy, or at least happier than being in a hospital or nursing home, you should be paying them more to do what they do. They should be appreciated. And as for companies like Bob's, in the waning years of my mom's life, I was looking for someone who could help her out, with her being alone in Chicago and me being 1,700 miles away in Scottsdale. You know, someone to help her keep her prescriptions straight, do her exercises, maybe cook her a meal. Heck, even just keep her company. The truth is, Mom was fiercely independent and didn't want that help. She loved her pickleball group and her grandkids. And even if she wasn't the best cook, sorry Mom, she'd rather put something in the microwave than have someone else cook something for her. But I bet her life would have been much better, especially during that last year, if she had a home care aide just spend a couple of hours a day with her, just to help her get through her more difficult times. Depending upon your definition of home healthcare, it's a $100 billion industry with a few key players and a whole lot of mom and pops. Now, if you're a drug maker, that probably doesn't seem like a lot. But their place in the healthcare value chain is important, and that's why we thought you should know about it. A century ago, all health issues were tended to in the home, whether by a physician house call or by another family member. Yet as modern medicine evolved in the early 20th century, along with important economic social changes such as urbanization, industrialization, and immigration, care transferred to hospitals and physician offices. This shift was widely viewed as a more efficient way of delivering care. Doctors could treat more patients in a day at the office and could attend to sicker patients in an environment prepared to handle critical care. By 1930, near all medical care was given outside the home, although physician house calls continued throughout the 1950s, although in declining numbers. But the growth of large institutions like hospitals and long-term care facilities, and with the development of private health insurance after 1945, the expense of a hospital stay drew the attention of insurers and policymakers. By the early 1950s, home health care became a viable, cost-saving alternative to hospital care, particularly by encouraging the earlier release of patients to caregivers in the home. Rising healthcare costs, largely driven by hospitals, would be a matter of debate with the passage of Medicare and Medicaid in 1965, through negotiating the Omnibus Budget Reconciliation Act in 1980, and would continue through the passage of the Affordable Care Act in 2009. To clarify, home care consists of three categories. Home health care refers to medical care provided in the home and is a defined benefit of Medicare, Medicaid, and most private insurance plans under very specific criteria. Private duty care, also called companion care, assistive care, or in-home personal care services, that's care provided in the home by commercial caregivers and home health aides. Because such services are generally non-medical and do not require an order from a physician, their purpose is to make life easier for the homebound and help them live independently by taking care of errands, providing meals, performing housekeeping, and more. Hospice care is care for those who are in the last days of their lives and can be provided in the home, in a hospice facility, in a hospital, or a long-term care facility. And there's also palliative care, which is specialized medical care for people with serious illness, where the goal is to ease pain and improve quality of life. Palliative care uses a multidisciplinary approach, including physicians, care managers, nurses, pharmacists, and others. In practice, the term home health refers to medical care performed in the home. Broadly, home health also includes providers of specialty services, such as home infusion and respiratory therapy. Home care, or private duty, refers to non-medical care, or at least care that can be delivered without a nurse. Generally, the terms home health care and home care are used interchangeably, and private duty refers to services that enhance health and well-being that are not provided by a nurse or clinician. Over the course of time, home health care has fallen in and out of favor with insurers and policymakers. Recently, the industry has suffered the reputation of nursing homes in the 1980s. Regulators are cracking down on enforcement, and we've seen a wave of high-profile Medicare fraud cases from operators billing for services not performed, neglect, and patients enrolled in hospice care who shouldn't be. As a result of legislative and regulatory cuts, Avalere estimates a 22% reduction in home health payments by Medicare from 2011 to 2020, or about $22 billion. The lack of consensus about the principal objectives of home health care and a sometimes poorly defined target population of who would benefit from home health services are critical issues that have beleaguered the industry since the inception. Nevertheless, by 2050, an estimated 27 million Americans will need some form of long-term care, with the bulk of that care being provided through home health providers and hospice care. Who receives health care in the home is not only a crucial policy question to be addressed, but also can be a significant business opportunity for the industry and its suppliers. Another way to think about home health is to think of a continuum of healthcare delivery. A major goal of healthcare cost control is keeping people away from acute care settings, particularly extended hospital stays and emergency room visits. Private duty care provides resources to keep people independent and healthy, and home healthcare can provide substantial savings relative to hospital care. Currently, 7.6 million Americans receive some form of community-based health care for disabilities, chronic care, or hospice care. The majority of home health care users are over the age of 65 and frequently have multiple chronic health conditions. According to a 2011 study by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC, home health care consumers have the following characteristics in that most are over the age of 65, they tend to live with family members, and a majority of them are women. The CDC found that in 2007, about 1.5 million home health care patients received care every day, an increase of 100,000 from the year 2000. The majority of care was provided through proprietary home health agencies, which in 2000 provided only 34% of patient care. Voluntary nonprofit agencies saw a decline in business, down from 56% in 2000. On average, people received 305 days of care, with the mean length of service longer for people under the age of 65 at 474 days than for those 65 and older at 242 days. The CDC also reported that the top condition observed among patients in the study was essential hypertension, although the leading primary diagnosis at admission was diabetes. The study found that 84% had at least one assisted daily living limitation. According to the CDC, the prevalence of people with multiple chronic conditions is on the rise. And these include obesity, heart disease, diabetes, arthritis, asthma, and cancer. In 2010, within the 65 and older age group, 45.4% had two or three chronic conditions, and 17.1% had four or more. In 2010, 141 million Americans had at least one chronic disease, and that number is expected to reach 171 million by 2030. We are not only an aging population, but we are also a nation of the sick getting sicker. While this may be unwelcome news and requires our attention, it also means opportunity for home health care. Most Americans think about home health care at the time that they or a loved one needs it. They have no need to think otherwise because it is outside of their personal experience. When the time comes, whether it is through the natural aging process, part of post-surgery recovery, or the result of chronic illness or injury, consumers are presented with the home care option, or in many cases presented as a requirement of the continuum of care provided by their insurer, typically Medicaid. We know what consumers want from a home health provider when they're actually receiving care. Healthcare Compare data informs us that patients want clear communication to be treated with care and to be treated in a professional way. We also know why patients prefer home care to care provided in the nursing home or hospital. It provides more choices for daily living, it keeps them connected to their community, and it provides them with a feeling of hope. From all of us at Darwin Research Group, thanks for listening. Please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Healthcare Rounds. If you have a topic you'd like to see covered in a future episode, please email us at podcast@darwinresearch.com. And if you haven't already subscribed to our weekly strategic brief, go to darwinresearch.com and subscribe today. See you next round.